We love a good courtroom drama. From Perry Mason to Matlock to Law and Order, I've grown up with numerous shows that dramatize the legal process. In today's reading from the Gospel of John, the stage is set for high courtroom drama. A woman has been caught in adulterous relations, and the Pharisees and scribes bring her to Jesus for a judgment on her sinful behavior. Mosaic law allows for her to be stoned to death, but the Jewish leaders want Jesus to make the final judgment. High drama indeed. But Jesus resists the role of judge that has been thrust upon him. Jesus addresses neither the accusers nor the accused. Instead, he stoops down and starts writing in the dirt. Finally, when pressed by the Jewish leaders, Jesus offers that the person present who is without sin should throw the first stone. No questions to the accusers of what they saw or heard, who was involved, what evidence might have been collected. Were there any eyewitnesses, or is it all hearsay? When the crowd eventually dissipates, Jesus is left alone with the accused. The only question he asks is, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" That's it. There is no questioning of her. He doesn't question her actions. He doesn't drill down to get the truth out of her about the adulterous affair. No probing to see if she was repentant. He simply tells her to go and sin no more. When it's all over, we don't even know her name. This is not how the episodes of Law and Order go. This is not the high courtroom drama we were expecting. So what are we to make of this story? What are we supposed to learn? For me to really understand this week's gospel reading, I have to start by taking a quick look back at last week's gospel, the parable of the prodigal son. That parable comes to us through the Gospel of Luke, and it is such a familiar story, I know that I don't have to remind you of the theme. The prodigal son wastes his inheritance and comes home to ask his father to take him on as a hired hand. The father sees his son coming from a long way off, runs to him, ignoring his son's confession of sinfulness, and orders that the fatted calf be killed to celebrate his son's return. In Luke's parable, the father is uninterested in the son's explanation or even his potential apology. Out of pure love for his son, the need for justice is set aside, and mercy and love are heaped upon the son without his asking for it. Now, returning to this week's reading from the Gospel of John, we hear how Jesus deals with this woman accused of adultery. He has every chance to question her about her actions, admonish her for her behavior, condemn her sinfulness. Yet he doesn't opt for any of these. Instead, without knowing a single detail, not even her name, he offers his forgiveness to her and tells her to go about her life and sin no more. Like the father in the story of the prodigal son, Jesus bypasses the opportunity to apply harsh justice to the situation and opts instead for mercy and love. Today's gospel shows us what it looks like when the lessons taught in the story of the prodigal son are applied to a real life situation. So for me, this gospel reading shows how God loves all of us, wanting to shower us with love and mercy rather than confront us with harsh judgment. This gospel raises the question, am I ready to be loved in this way? Am I ready to have God love me so radically that my past sins and flaws don't matter, that hurts and injuries I have caused are cast aside? I want to say that the answer is yes, but I have to wonder, what's the catch? Maybe the catch is that if I am persuaded to accept God's love and mercy for myself, then I also have to accept that God is going to shower you with the same love and mercy. At least when it comes to me, I know that I am a repentant sinner, even if God doesn't question me about it. At least with me, I know that I would have done better if I knew how to do better. But what about you? What do I really know about you? And if I am willing to accept God's radical love for myself, and I am willing to accept God radically loving you, there is even a harder question for me to answer. If I have experienced God's radical love directly and have witnessed God's radical love of you, am I ready to love you just as radically? Can I offer you love and forgiveness the way that God has shown it to me? Can I ask God to fill your heart with love and bless your life in spite of the damage you did to my property, or the loss of my health, or my damaged relationships that you left behind in your wake? Can I forgive someone who has injured me, who has never asked for my forgiveness? Can I pray for someone to receive God's radical mercy and love, whom I judge to be less than worthy of that grace? Maybe if that person is going to be radically loved by God, and the same radical love is expected of me, maybe I don't want to be loved that way after all. Maybe I need more justice than that. In today's gospel, the crowd who came for justice packed up their sins and took their sins home with them. Ironically, the person who received forgiveness and mercy was the accused woman who stood still and waited, the woman who did not slip away with the others. She stood in spite of the crowd leaving and waited for judgment from Jesus. Instead, he offered her love and mercy. What will you do with the rest of this Lenten season? Do you want to experience God's radical mercy and love? Or will you pack up your sins and take them with you because the cost of love is too high? If you don't know where to start, come and receive the sacrament of reconciliation. You can find the times it is offered in our bulletin. Come and experience God's forgiveness and love that is given freely in that sacrament, both for the sins that you name and the sins that you don't. Let God love you radically, not because you deserve it, but because that is how God loves everyone, free of charge. Then, as best you can, take that love out into the world and share it with those who need it most. Let's all learn to love radically.